We bless the Lord. We thank God that we still have a place to worship. And Bible said, God's going to bless those faithful few. How many know it's good to be faithful to God? Amen. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And we're going to continue what we did last week. Now, add to these notes to your old notes, because I put more information in them. Amen. We do thank God for my wife in here. We thank God for all of you. Thank God that Irene rose from the dead. Amen. Amen. So much sickness going on all over. Every time you think one group is getting better, you get another group that goes down. But we thank God. Amen. Thank God for giving Brother Alec traveling mercies over the airways and for him being here with us. Aren't you glad you know who the Lord is? Isn't it good to know who Jesus is? Amen. So like I said, once again, we're continuing our study on fighting with the wrong weapons. Because we need to know the enemy we're fighting. We need to know how to fight. Is that right? So Ephesians 6. The action scripture first. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. You're going to start on number 12, right? Okay. All right. It's verse 10 reads, So who is he writing to? The church. Be strong in the Lord. Isn't that an amazing thing? You're going to have to tell the church to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We probably could just stop right there. Yeah, seriously, we could stop right there. Amen. Be strong in who? The Lord. And in the power of... So then that means that a lot of people must be doing a lot, but it's not in his might. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the... So we're fighting an enemy. We're fighting an enemy. His name is the devil. Amen. So you got to put on part of the armor of God. The whole armor. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the... We need the what? Whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. Then the Lord has blessed to the reading of the word of the church said. Blessing. Amen. You may be seated. So truly we do bless the Lord. We thank God. Amen. Once again for the mind to be saved. Thank God for a mind just to seek his face. Most of all, isn't it important tonight that we pray to be in God's perfect will? Amen. There are so many wills, many times we don't realize, but we allow our will to take precedence over God's will. But it's so important that we pray for God's will to be done. Jesus was God in the flesh. And in his greatest trying moment, he said, Lord, not my will, but what? So there will be a trying moment. The question is, how will we react to that trial? Will we ask for God's will to be done, or will we do it our way? Amen? So let us go back to our notes. Yours would be page, I did have the notes. Yours would be page 7, I believe it is. Amen. Those are the new notes, because I added more definitions and different things to the old notes. So from 7 on, from last week, don't use those 7, use the new 7s. Amen. So we're going to start at 7. All right? Amen? And verse 6. Now, this is the latter portion of, I believe this is, yeah, I don't know what the finish in 2 Corinthians 10, all right? And verse 6 says, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay, all right. Yours should be, maybe yours might be 6 then. Look on 6. You have 6 from last week. 6 from last week would probably be right. No, you don't have the next 6 either? It probably should be 7 or 6. You don't have the 6 from last week either, right? But that's not on there?
Yes.
Oh. Right, from last week. All right. Yeah, 6 from last week, right? Huh? All right. Well, Ken, if you don't have 6, all right. 6 from last week, all right? So, let me read verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 10. It says, having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Amen. We're going to go over Ephesians 4:17 a little later. Now we're going to come to what we just finished reading, Ephesians 6:10-18. Amen. He says, finally, my brethren, this is the conclusion. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And when you think of that, the whole armor, now the armor protects us from the head to the feet. If any part of your armor is missing, then you'll open yourself up to vulnerabilities for the devil to attack. If you leave any portion of this armor off, you're open for the devil to attack. So it has been said that anyone who wants to fight his demon with his own weapons is not wise. I say it that way. All right? If you want to fight with your own weapons, you're not wise because you're not strong enough to fight the devil on your own. So in order for us to fight the devil, we have to use the right weapons. Amen? And just think, and we'll go over a little later, the devil has no respect to persons. Because after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the first encounter he had was the devil. Now you would think the devil knew who Jesus was. The devil knew Jesus was God. Remember he called, he said, thou son of God. Jesus told him, hold your peace, don't reveal who I am yet. So the devil knew who he was, but he had no respect for that position. Just like he knows us, we in Christ, he has no respect for our position. And the only way the Lord defeated the devil, then he didn't go use, he said, well, I made this, I'm God, I got power. He said, it is written. So one of the things in fighting to have the whole armor, we need to know what is written. We need to know what's in the Word of God. Amen? How many of us attempt to fight our own, what kind of battle? Now we're living in a world that's a spiritual battle. With effort, technique, and motivation from ourselves. How's that working out? Self-reliance is a sure formula for what? For failure. He said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of. Anytime you allow your mind to fight a spiritual warfare, you're going to lose. Because we have to be strong in the power of his mind. Without the whole armor, I would die as a foolish warrior who went into my spiritual battle with a makeshift shield. Once again, the combination that makes up the word whole armor reveals an important element. Here the word is panoplia, a combination of pas, meaning all, full, or thorough, and hoplon, two instrument or weapon. The Hoplite warrior was a mercenary soldier in Athens. Now, we wouldn't know this, but they would have recognized this in Paul speaking. Amen? Hoplite were known for their strength and courage. The Hoplite warrior was a mercenary soldier in Athens hired to do battle for the nobility. The term originates from the word used to describe their shield. Paul loved military term. Panoplia is a good one. Everything necessary for what? Battle. The whole armor is everything necessary for battle. Wouldn't it be unfair of God normally going against a competent warrior in the devil? Not to give us all the tools we need. You're just thinking, if you're going to war now, a lot of y'all were in the military. Back you were in the military. When you just imagine you going over to Vietnam and fight and leave your gun at home. Right? That's a foolish fight. Amen. Like I said last week also, I used to listen to my father tell the stories of Vietnam. They talked about how all those soldiers would be so unwise and not watching. And out in the middle of the black would light up a cigarette. In seconds, they were gone. Right? You have to know the enemy you're fighting. And then also you have to be watchful. The Bible said be sober, be what? Vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion. So they told the numerous soldiers that were instantly killed because they could not hold back to light up a cigarette. So in the pitch black, that little cigarette, that little match would light. Can you imagine that? And they would take them out based on that match. Well, you have to know the enemy you're fighting. And we have to have on the whole armor. Now, if you allow your appetites of your flesh to take the preeminence over the armor, you're going to be hit by a sniper fire. Amen? If you allow your appetites of your flesh to have the preeminence, you're going to be hit by sniper fire. Alright? Yes, if we keep reading, Paul explains allegorically the spiritual equivalent of each piece of the soldier's armor. Alright? For we wrestle not against the problem is not your neighbor, the job, or anybody else. The problem is the devil. But you know, God in his great wisdom, he already gives us a test. And our tests are not intended to overthrow us. God gives us a test to see how we're going to react to the test. Amen? And in him giving us a test to see how he's going to react, he always gives us the weapons to win. But we have to choose to use the weapons. All right? Principalities against powers, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore? Because you're fighting a spiritual battle. Can we say spiritual battle? Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? You can't defeat the devil with your power. You can't win this spiritual battle with your might. You can only win this spiritual battle with the power of his might. Amen? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Stand therefore having your... The most important thing, if you're going to fight the devil, you got to know the truth from the lie. It's impossible to fight the enemy when all he does is tell lies. So you have to know the truth from the lie. So if you don't know the truth, who's the father of all liars? He was a liar from the beginning. So how can you beat the devil if you don't know the truth, if you believe his lies? Because his lies will tell you, you can't beat me. Right? He will intimidate us by lies. So you have to know the truth. So the most important thing, first of all, is before you can even start fighting, you need to know the truth. Amen? It says, now the belt of truth. The belt of truth holds everything to... The whole armor is held together by the truth. Right? Your armor is held together by the truth. The minute you walk in deception or lie, your armor is not fully covering you. And you're susceptible to the enemy's attack. Amen? A soldier in Paul's day had a leather girdle, a belt that he tightened about his waist. to protect his lodge and carry his weapons of warfare, such as a dagger or a sword. The belt also held his tunic together so it wouldn't be. Can you imagine you are? Imagine being some of these boys that they go into war and they melt. this is kind of funny, but they show some dumb criminals on TV. They show dumb criminals. So one of the guys snatched the lady's purse and he didn't have his belt tight. So he was running, guess what his pants did? Fell down and tripped him up. So he wasn't able to get by her because he didn't have on a belt of truth. I mean, it's facetious, but that's what happens to us when we don't have our armor together. When we don't allow our belt to be tight, amen? So it holds the tunic together so it wouldn't be snagged. In Christian armor, it is integrity that holds everything to, what is it? Integrity. Integrity is walking in the truth. All in the truth will make us free. Amen? The truth. So, if it says, if you do not have integrity in the big and small things of your life, you're going to lose the battle. When people say that you are a woman or a man of integrity, if not, then you cannot win the battle. So, our integrity is so important. Amen? Jesus said, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's John 14:6. Jesus is the truth. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth in John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into, as I said a couple of Sundays ago, that's why we need the Holy Ghost, because we don't how to walk on our own. The scripture says, not a man that walketh to direct his step, but we need God's help to direct our step. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things. That's so important. The truth won't just show you what's happening now, but when you're in the truth, it will show you things to come. Jesus said, the Bible, the Word of God, is true. God uses truth to set us apart, sanctify us. That means God sets us apart. So we are not like everybody else because we walk in the truth. God sets us apart. We are a special people unto him. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy what? Well, what is true? Thy word is truth. As we get everything that is untruthful out of our lives, we become more and more like Jesus and safer from spiritual attack. Without Jesus, you are unclothed and unprotected during battle. We need to accept Jesus so you can be ready for the battle with the belt of truth. The next thing is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness protects our what? Vital organs. The believer's purity. The breastplate of a soldier was sometimes made of woven chains and used to cover the soldier's vital organs. For the Christian, the breastplate is righteousness. The enemy wants to attack you not only with lies, but also with impurity. He wants you to read filthy magazines, watch immoral movies, and engage in all temptations of the flesh. The bottom line is that Satan wants to get you and get to your heart and mind. He's looking for a crack in your, how many of us are going to purpose? There won't be a crack in my heart. The devil is looking for a crack in your armor. Amen. I often, when Saul went to battle, right when the Lord had said that he was going to be destroyed, when they shot the arrow at Saul, with all that armor, the arrow found the only place it wasn't protected. Remember Saul? He was killed, and that's why I said, how the mighty fall. Amen. Saul, why? Because his armor didn't fully protect him. He was the first king of Israel, but he fell through an arrow because his armor was not in position. And even if the armor, remember he had an armor bearer, they had to carry the armor, something happened for the arrow to get past the armor. Right? We could be another Saul. We need to have our armor in place. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
It says, if your heart pure before God, if not, then you cannot win the, we're talking about the spiritual battle now. You have to have a pure heart. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that for there is no difference. Jesus makes us a new person created to desire godly things. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be where? In Christ. He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, when things are new, you don't have your fleshly mind and fleshly desires don't dictate. But now you are created as a new creature in Christ. And as a new creature in Christ, Ephesians 4:22 says this, that ye put off concerning the your old way of walking, your old way of talking, your old way of fighting. He said you gotta put it off. Amen. How you used to handle yourself, no matter how big a man of a person you were, now you're in Christ, you gotta put it off, because you're not fighting a physical battle now, but you're fighting a spiritual battle. So the way you used to win, I don't care how many fights you won in the past, you can't fight like that today. Amen. It says, former conversation, the old, the conversation means your conduct, a manner of life, not the way you talk, which is corrupt according to what? The deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your, we talk about being made over, being new, all right? And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and sometimes you have to pay particular attention to words. It didn't just say holiness, but what? Because there's a whole lot of people in holiness, but it ain't true holiness. Amen? So it says, if you're going to be in Christ and you're a new creature, you got to have righteousness and true holiness. Amen? But it is his righteousness given to us that we trust in, not our own. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 reads, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the, Lord, I just want to be righteous. How many just, you know, the righteousness of God is, listen, no matter what you think about me, I want to do what's right before God. So I don't succumb to worldly pressure. I don't succumb to peer pressure. Because when I succumb to peer pressure, then I'm not righteous before God. Then I'm living by not my dictates, but the dictates of the flesh. Actually, Tony, can you pull up Galatians 1:10 for me? We're talking about not living by the dictates of our flesh, not trying to please people. We want to be righteous before God. Amen. So Galatians 1:10 reads, for that do I persuade who? Alright, it's on the board. They don't have to put this thing in those. For now do I persuade who? That's an important question in all of our spiritual walk today. Who are we trying to persuade? Amen. Who's opinion? Who what matters more? So do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? He said that if I seek to please, then guess what? You're not the servant of Christ. If you seek to please, the church is messed up. Somebody said the church is messed up. Seriously, the church is messed up. Because people will know they're going against God, but because of favor. Because Jude said because of advantage. They were doing things to please men, knowing that it's displeasing to God. That is not the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is what pleases God. And sometimes in you being righteous, you gotta walk a lonely, you gotta walk on a lonely island. You're gonna be all by yourself. You're gonna have your own past, right? Because John made a stand for God. They did everything to try and take John out, but God was with them. So since they couldn't kill him, they said, we're gonna just put you in exile on the Isle of Patmos. So sometimes in your stand for God, you're on a lonely island, but you don't have to worry about a thing. Because Paul John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Right? So when you get by yourself, when men forsake you, Paul said, the Lord stood by me. Hallelujah. And let's keep going. I don't want to get off track. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The shoes of the gospel. The shoes of the gospel represent the readiness given by the gospel. The believer's tranquility comes through keeping his mind, right? Your peace, your comfort, your joy won't come through reading Dear Ann or Dear Abby. I don't even know if they still alive. You know, they still have Ann and Abby and this one and that one and reading horoscopes and all that. That ain't tell me where your peace will come from. Amen. I don't care if you go to the Chinese restaurant and get 100 packs of those fortune cookies. That's not your peace. Your peace comes from keeping your mind. Well, I'm just worried. No, you can't worry. You got to keep your mind stayed on Him. The Bible said, be careful for nothing. Right? We're not supposed to have worry. Cast all of our. Because He cares for us. So your peace comes through keeping your mind. Now, all of us are going through hardships and trouble. But I heard the songwriter say in the Word of God, I found, when you find that hiding place, then you'll be able to fight the right weapons, all right? So keeping his mind stayed on the Word of God. Isaiah 26:3. I added 4 because sometimes we fail to realize the scriptures don't, the context the scripture is not completely revealed until we put it all together. Amen? So 3 reasons. Thou will keep him. Who is he talking about? God. Thou will keep him in. God don't just give you peace. When your mind is set on him, he gives you perfect peace. How many wants a perfect peace? Right now, they're talking about peace, but they ain't got the perfect peace that God gives. Whose mind is? Why? Because? Well, why do you keep talking about God? Where else can I go? Who else can I turn to? Who else can I run to? Who else can I have trust in but God? Trust ye in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is. How are you going to have fighting and warrior if you don't have? So when you keep your mind stayed on the Lord, you keep your trust in the Lord, then you get strength. A lot of saints are just walking away from God and giving up on church and salvation. Why? The mind's in the wrong place. Well, he did, they did, she did, this one did. Forget about all that. What did God do? Right? He asked the children of Israel, he said, what iniquity have you found? And me that you're gone. God said, why don't you leave me? Yeah, I know you had a problem with this one and that one. He said, well, what did I do to offend you that you left me? Right. So we have to keep our trust, our mind stayed on God. So in the middle of the battle, I still got strength. Because I what? Trust. I trust in Him. Amen? So we have to trust in the Lord. A soldier doesn't have strength if he doesn't keep his focus on God and also trust in Him. A Roman soldier would have hobnails on the sole, very much like football cleats, because when they were fighting, they needed solid footing from which to. Can you imagine one and all you trying to fight in a war and all you doing is slipping and sliding? So you got to be, you have to have a sure foundation. You have to have a sure stay. Unless you have a solid footing of peace, you can never make war. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? When Satan comes against your, how many know he's accusing, he's constantly coming against our tranquility. He throws out stone and bars of doubt and to cause you to stumble. Do you have peace right now? If not, then you cannot win the battle. Right? Every battle starts where? In the mind. You can't enter a battle thinking you're going to lose. Matter of fact, I remember I was 10 years old. Like 5 years ago. I'm not 15. But I was 10 years old. And I was at West Point. This is when they had their presidential stuff and all that fitness stuff, you know, presidential and this and that. And I don't know how many of y'all like to go for that. But we were at West Point, so whatever the government did, students had to do it as well, even though we were kids. So we all had to do this wrestling thing. So everyone was paired off in the weights. We had to wrestle all the way up to the end. So I made it to the end, and I don't even remember his name, Hector Vega. I went home and told my mom, I said, I don't know if I can beat Hector Vega, this guy's really big. I said, he's big. She said, boy, you put your mind to it, you can beat anybody. That's what she said. She said, you put your mind to it, you can beat him. I was like, mom, I don't think I can beat him. This guy is really good, he's really big. She said, no, you put your mind to it, you can beat him. But at first I didn't even want to go in the ring in the wrestling, you know, because they did it in front of everybody, the wrestling stuff. We were only kids. But my mom said I could win, so I said, you know what? My mom said I could win. Heck, I'm gonna beat you, right? But if I went in there with the first one I had, guess what? I would have lost. Well, a lot of us go to battle, but we already lost because we don't have no confidence. Confidence in who? God. Right, our might, our power comes through God. So Hector Vega, I beat you. Because my mom told me I couldn't, I believed her. Right, so what I'm saying is, there are a lot of battles that we're engaging in, but most of us have lost before we even engage in the battle. Because we reflect back on what happened 18 years ago and say, well, last time I engaged in battle, this is what happened. Well, guess who's playing in the playground of your mind? It ain't God. It's who? The devil. And every time you go to battle thinking, I can't, guess what? You can. That's why Paul said, I can do what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? It's important to understand the truth about Jesus well enough to explain it to others. This helps you remain standing even after some of the worst. Lord knows this year we've had some attacks, but we're still standing because we trust and have confidence in God. This has been a testing year. It's been a trying year. But how many know God is faithful and he's brought us through? Amen. It also makes your feet beautiful. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the feet of the messenger who brings good news. The good news of peace and salvation. The good news that God reigns. Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth the good tidings is what? The gospel. Right? Bringing, they were talking about the gospel back in the Old Testament that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that says unto Zion, when you have the right mind, you know your God reigns. 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench. How many know the devil keeps firing? He keeps firing. For Peter says in 1 Peter 4:12, think it not strange concerning the. He keeps firing. He does not stop shooting those fiery trust, right? So the shield of faith. The shield of faith is our trust in the promises of who? Paul said all the promises in God in him are yea and amen. There's no ambiguity, there's no maybe. When it comes to God, you just got to stand on his promises. Amen. Focusing on God's faithfulness can block accusations, doubt, and temptations that attack us. Focusing on what? God is faithful. And he won't allow any of us to be tempted above that which we are. So if you're in a battle, say God is faithful. So if I'm in a battle, God knows I can handle it. The devil will tell you in a battle you're going to lose. Say, no, God does not put more on me than I can bear. But he will with the temptation make a way to escape that I might be able to. So God is faithful. Whatever you're going through, I don't care how bad it is, God is faithful. God doesn't allow you to go through it to overthrow you. God allows you to go through it so you can see how strong you are in him. If you're not in him, you can't win. Like that battle, you're fighting with the what? The wrong weapons. Amen. The believer's certainty. The Roman soldier's shield measured approximately 2 by 4 feet and was made of wood covered with leather. Now, pay attention to this. This thing, we talk about what kind of darts? Fiery darts, right? The devil is throwing us fire. Fiery darts means what? They are on fire. Right? And sometimes when you think of fire, some of our trials are just average. Some of our trials come with intensity. They come with some heat. They come with some fervor, right? So these times, this is a fiery trial. I can't even figure out where it came from. This is the devil throwing those darts at you. Amen? In that day, soldiers dipped arrows in oil, then lit them and shot them at the enemy. Y'all ever see that on TV? They show fiery darts, patches, and all shooting into the soldiers. Well, that's how they used to fight back in those days. So if they didn't have the right kind of shield, it could protect them against the fiery darts. So a lot of us got shields, but they're not fully covered. So every time the devil shoots a fiery dart, it's lighting up our situation. And instead of us saying God, we can't say God because we're trying to put the fire out in the shield. Now listen, when you're distracted, if your shield catches on fire, you're distracted, guess what? That opens up all the rest of your armor to be an attack. Amen. So you have to be in place. You have to have everything in together for you to fight the enemy. Amen. These shields were vital to protect the soldier from getting burned. Satan is going to fire flaming arrows of doubt at you. He wants to place subtle doubts in your mind about God and his truth. Amen. We just think today, how many of us really believe God is able? How many of us trust and believe that God is able? Or have we begun to believe the devil's lies? That God can't. Can't is never a word that a child of God should use. Right? Because the Bible said God can do all things. And the scripture said, all things are possible unto him that believe. That the contrast to that is this. With men, these things are impossible. But with God, so if you've been listening to too many men, you won't win. You got to trust in God. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
He knows a spark can ignite a big fire. You will need to feed your faith and starve your doubts. Are there any seeds of doubts in your mind today? If there are, you cannot win the spiritual battle. If there are any seeds of doubt, you cannot win the spiritual battle. The Bible says a double-minded man is what?
Unstable
in all of his ways. Say, if you come to God and you are unstable in doubt, let not that man expect to receive. So how can I not receive you have in approaching your situation. Are you approaching it in doubt? Are you unstable? Are you full of faith? Amen? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation protects our thoughts. Our enemy falsely accuses and lies to us. The believer's sanity is a believer's sanity is a what?
Right mind.
A right mind. A soldier used a helmet to protect his head because if his head was wounded, he wouldn't be able to think. Every believer needs to have the mind of Christ under the control of Almighty God. When a person is saved for the first time, he has his when you got saved, you got the right mind. You say, how do people walk away from God after they got saved? Because they lost their right mind. If you keep the right mind, you won't walk away from God. Amen. A soldier used a helmet to protect his head because his head was wounded. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't have one already. A person without the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus Christ, has a form of insanity. They do not operate with the mind that God made them to have. The mind that God gives, the believer gives a humble and
obedient.
What kind of mind does God give us?
Humble and obedient.
Humble and obedient. Now, I didn't want to put all of the scripture in here, but we know the scripture says, let this mind be you, which is what?
Also,
who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself a no. You know what? He said, listen, Jesus said, it's not about me. Until every child of God realizes whatever your position is, however you're being used, it's not about you. It's all about God. So first thing you got to learn is you got to be humble. To have the help of the salvation, you have to be humble. All right? He says, and then he said, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and what? Became. So humbleness and obedience are part of the mind of Christ, right? If you're too proud and you can't admit when you're wrong, that's not humble, right? Humbleness and humility are bedfellows, they go together. You can't be humble if you don't have humility. They go together. Then after you have humbleness and humility, you have to be obedient. Because if, listen, if you're not humble and have humility, then when things go right, God said, I said, forgive your enemies and pray for them. When you're not humble, you say, I ain't forgiving nobody. Right? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to forgive because you're not humble. Then when you're not humble, you can't be obedient. Because you're going to say, you don't know what they did. That's not what God says. You're supposed to even pray for them to despisefully use and persecute you. But it's hard to do that if you're not humble. And it's even more difficult to do it if you're not obedient. Now, a lot of us are seeking to obey, but not God. So the question is, like, who do we seek to please? If we seek to please man, and man includes yourself, then the scripture says we are not the servants of Christ. Who do we want to please? Who are we seeking to please? Whose admiration are we seeking? Is it man or is it God? Amen? The most important thing for you to have at all times is an assurance of your salvation. Do you know that you are saved? Do you know that you are saved? If you aren't, do you know for sure you should say that you are saved? If you aren't, then you cannot win the battle. Somebody says, are you saved? If you say, I don't know, the devil already has you going the wrong way. You can't win the battle if you can't say, I'm saved. Yes, I'm struggling. Yes, I have problems. But every day I ask the Lord to forgive me. And I thank God that his mercies are near. But I'm not going to presume on the mercies of God. Right? Just because they do, I'm not going to do it and say, well, God will forgive me. Amen. The psalmist said, Lord, keep back thy perfect servants from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Right? So when you get used to sinning and sinning and sinning, that thing has dominion over you. You can't have victory like that. You're presuming on God's mercy. He said, then shall I be innocent of the great transgression. You can't presume on God's mercy. Can we just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
We got to be humble. Amen. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 read, but let us who are of the day be what? Be sober. You gotta be alert. The devil sets traps all the time. Every day he's setting traps. If you're not sober, you will walk into those traps. Put it on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It is our only. The sword is a what? Only offensive weapon. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. When we are tempted, the most effective weapon that God has given to us as believers is the what? Sword of the Spirit, which is? So every time that devil tells you, you can't say, this is what God's word says. Right? Speak to your circumstances. Don't allow them to speak to you. Did Jesus say, if you speak to the mountain? The problem is we allow too many mountains to speak to us. So if we speak to the mountains and be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, right? Instead of us doing that, the mountains are telling us, you go into the sea. But you got to speak to your mountains. Stop allowing your mountains to speak to you. Amen. Because in Jesus' name, he said we can do anything. Amen. When we are tempted, the most effective weapon that God has given us as believers, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus modeled this so beautifully during his what? Temptation in the wilderness. When the devil tried temptation after temptation against him, Jesus used a sword. Who's our perfect example?
Jesus.
You know, if just for a stop for a moment, what do we use when we're in our temptation? Do we use the sword of the Spirit or the sword of our fiery tongues? Think about it. Really, when you're in your big test, what are you using? The word of God, or are you using your own ability, your own might? The Bible said, by might shall no man prevail. The only way we can prevail is through God's Spirit. Paul said, thank God that gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How many want victory? You can't get it out of Jesus. You got to go through him. You can't go around him. You can't go over him. You can't go under him. You got to go through. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way. So in order for you to get through, you got to go through. You got to go through Jesus. Amen. Jesus used the sword of the Spirit. Jesus spoke the word of God to. Who are you speaking to? Satan. Right. So the thing is, in our tests, our trials, what are we speaking? Right. I don't care what it is. Say, God's word said this, I'm going to stand on the word of God no matter what. You got to stand on his word. Every response of Satan was that it is written. Matthew 4:3. 4:3-11. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be. Did the devil know who he was?
Yes.
It wasn't insult, right? If he be. It was Jesus looking at him. He said, you old rascal, I made you. Because all things were created by Jesus. So the one that created him, he had the nerve to go and try and insult him. Right? In his face, said, if you be. Jesus is going to say, wait a minute, you don't get out of my face. I made you. How you going to come and challenge me and I made you? Right? The scripture says, how can the thing form? Satan, the thing that formed him. Nevertheless, let's keep going. Right? How you going to go and tell Jesus, if you be the Son of God. Amen. I just lost my page. Give me 1 second. I'll get right back there in 1 second. Must have been the wind blowing in here, and I can see it. He said, command that these stones be made what?
Bread.
And instead of Jesus, sometimes just don't even entertain the devil. Even if he comes in another person, don't entertain him. He said, but he answered and said, it is written. Man shall not live by, but by that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the devil said, you know what? I'm not satisfied. Right? Every time we resist the devil, he's coming back. But the Bible says, if you submit yourself to God, then resist the devil, he'll flee. So a lot of us are resisting, but we're not submitting. You with me? So we're resisting the devil, but we're doing it our way. And the first time we win, all the rest of the time we lose. Why? Because we're not submitting to God. So it says, submit yourself to God, then resist the devil and he'll. So you know what Jesus is doing? He's submitting. This is our perfect example. Amen. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is. How many times you want to insult the one that just made you? Seriously. Right? It's like a kid, you know, you ever have kids, and then all of a sudden your kids know more than you know, and they're so young? Seriously. Yes, sir. Something we can all identify with. What? You telling me? You're not even wet behind the ears. You going to try and tell me what to do? It's not Jesus is looking at the devil. He said, I'm from eternity to eternity. You can find the time. You can find. You can't do what I do. He said, how are you going to insult me when I made you? If thou be. Right? But let's just get down to verse 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again. Then verse 8, again the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. How can you give something to somebody that already knows? Isn't that foolish? Right? But the devil is trying to play psychological mind games with Jesus. Jesus said, I don't even have time for your foolishness. I don't have time to entertain you about what belongs to me. You want to give, it's like me, I'm going to go take $100 out of your pocket and say, if you do what I say, I'm going to give you $100. I'm saying, this is how facetious it is. This is how foolish it is. This is how the devil is dealing with Jesus, trying to take something from him and then he's going to give it back. Jesus said, everything belonged to me. He told his disciples one time, he said, put away the sword, don't fight. He said, if I want to, I can call so many legions of angels, they're coming to fight for me. Because I got the power. Right? So the devil is insulting him. But verse 10, he said, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Verse 11 said, then the devil, well, why did the devil leave him? Because he couldn't fight the word of God. He couldn't overcome the word of God. He couldn't overcome the word of God. So the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The sword of the Spirit works. Memorize scripture and use the word of God to defeat Satan's lies and attacks. The sword of the Spirit is used for attacking. So you don't have to be on the defensive. Amen. Remember when Goliath came to David? David didn't retreat. The Goliath was walking. David said, I'm going up with this belt, I'm ready to engage. Because David, even though he didn't have on what everybody had, his armor, he said, I come in the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord is what? Strong tower. It's a wall of protection about you. So the big Goliath came and the man had the shield, and this is another thing, because Goliath had a shield, and his helmet came down to his nose, so everything was supposed to be protected, right? If you study that, his shield wasn't just a regular, just a helmet, he came down to protect him. Then the armor in front of him, the shield, was supposed to have him completely covered. But when David slinged the slingshot, God used his laser position and found the only spot that would have protected. And he sunk right into his head, and Goliath died. As it happened in that way, so it happened with us. Right? The devil will use his laser precise weapons, rocks, or whatever he's showing, fiery dart, to find the only spot that's not protected. And most people don't bring that out, but Goliath was supposed to be fully covered. I imagine David threw a curveball. Y'all see a curveball? Curveball goes around the target. He did something because he was supposed to be fully covered. Right? But God uses precision-guided weapon to get through to Goliath. Amen? The sword of the Spirit is used for attack. The sword of the Spirit is? The word of God is what? Somebody said, well, I don't have no power. You need to get in the word. Because if you get in the word, you have power. Amen. Quick and powerful. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents. The word of God knows your plans and your conniving and your scheming, even before it takes place. So sometimes you come to church, it's very kind. Sometimes you come to church and you say, so who told this? The word of God already knew what you were going to do. Because it's a discerner of the intents of the heart. Guess what? That means it has not yet happened. The thoughts, they have not yet played themselves out. So the reason it's important to come to church, and this is why so many people are messed up, because they got some stuff in their mind when they come to church. God said, I'm going to send an anointing. And this anointing is going to get you on the right path. And if you don't come to church, you can't get the anointing. So all that stuff, you have thoughts and intent, you act them out and find yourself in more trouble, whereas when you come to the Word of God will find you out. And it will direct your steps. Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We must become especially skilled in using the sword of the Spirit. Now this is a part of the armor that most people leave off. They stop right there. But what's the end of the story? Amen? He says in verse 18, praying always with in supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for yourself. Wait a minute. You mean part of my armor is me praying for somebody else? We're supposed to pray for one another, as what the scripture says. That's part of the armor? Praying and supplicating in the Spirit for somebody else. Yes, that's part of the armor. Because your brother is weak. Remember when Moses, they would fight I think the Amalekites, I don't know if it was the Amalekites or Moabites, one of them, and they walked on the mountain, and Moses had Aaron on one side and Eleazar on the other side. He didn't have Ben and Hur. That movie is all wrong. So don't believe that Ben and Hur. Remember in Moses, in the Ten Commandments, they had Ben and Hur. But that ain't the scripture. Right, so Ten Commandments, that's why you can't watch all that stuff. They have people believe it as Ben and Hur. Like I thought as a kid, got older and found out they weren't even there. It was Eliezer and Aaron. Right? So when Moses got weak because he had help, he had a support system. As long as he held his hand up, Israel was victorious. But when his hand came down, then the enemy was victorious. So they set Moses on the rock. This is why it's so good to have a support system. Eliezer was on one side, and Aaron was on the other side. They held Moses' hand up until they were victorious. Because we have to pray one, we have to be a spiritual support system. Amen? For one another. Prayer and supplication is an often neglected or unmentioned part of the whole armor of God. Jesus exhorts the saints of God to always pray so they won't get tired of. A lot of us have stopped fighting. A lot of us have stopped using the right weapon because we stopped praying. If you pray, you have strength. If you pray, you will defeat the enemy. Luke 18:1, he says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray at what? But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, this is what it helps you to do. Keep yourselves in the... So when I pray, I stay in God. When I don't pray, I stay against the love of God. Somebody said, well, how do people walk away from God? Well, they stop talking to him. They stop talking to him and communicating with him. And because they don't communicate with him, they don't have his mind. So when you don't have his mind, you do what you want to do. And when you do what you want to do is the inclination of the flesh. And the flesh is contrary to God. It's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So when you don't pray, your flesh dominate, your flesh will take you away from God every time. Amen. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Psalm 55:16 says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Well, how am I going to call on him? Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing in prayer is important. Instant in prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same way. There's a whole lot of people praying, but they're so miserable. Right? Now I'm not talking about y'all. Y'all say amen. A lot of people pray, they're so miserable, they don't have no thanksgiving. You ever see people come out of prayer, come out of prayer fussing? Come out of prayer angry. I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about other people. God, when I talk to you, you're so angry and agitated and aggravated and just, right? Well, and people see you coming and they say, oh, something's wrong, right? When you finish praying, you're supposed to have thanksgiving. You're supposed to have a different disposition. The question is this, how can you spend time with a loving God for an hour and get up and walk out like the devil? Think about that. How do you spend time with God and you walk out like the devil? Because that whole time you were supposed to be spending with God, all you can do is visualize what you wanted to do. And you never humbled yourself. You never submitted to God. So even though God was trying to tell you, don't do that, you were so set in your ways. You missed it. All right? So it's pray without ceasing. Always keep in mind. Keep in mind that seven is God's number for. He gives us seven parts of the armor. If any part of the armor is not there, you are not complete. Seven is God's number of completion. The whole armor is complete when all seven parts of it are in use. God has a plan for our lives. The enemy has a plan for us too. We just have to decide which voice we're going to listen to and who we are going to choose to follow each day. And chances are, if we don't make a determined choice to follow God, we may eventually fall into the evil one's trap. God gives specific instructions where? In his word. He gives us all we need to stand strong in this life. Yet all too often we race through busy full days, ill equipped, unprepared, or simply not aware of what we are up against, or who the real enemy even is. If you are a believer, living like salt of the earth and light of the world, you won't go for long without encountering obstacles and attacks that the devil hurls straight in your direction. This battle is, the spiritual battle is real. Not only is it real, it is intense. focusing here today, putting on his whole armor, staying alert and praying that God will equip believers everywhere to stand. So I'm going to stop there, and the rest of this you all can really review. It's only a couple more pages. You can review it. Let me finish Matthew 11, and then the rest you can do. Okay, pretty much scripture reading. He says, if we want to be strong, if we want to make it, he says, take my yoke upon you and what? We need to study Jesus. We need to know him. We need to know about him. We need to see how he had victory. Learn of me. He said, if I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Yoke means his oral teachings. We need to take and learn. What happened? The yoke is what he's teaching. Now we know the yoke is also for oxen and binding together and being bound. But in this sense, his yoke is what he is has been teaching. Alright? Yoke is the Greek word zygos, which means freedom comes in chains. That sounds like an oxymoron, right? How can freedom come in chains? Zygos is glorious. Constraint that instructs us in a way of life delivered from toxic anxiety and confusion. So constraint, God literally comes to change. It means we have to be constrained. In other words, we have to purpose. I'm not going to do that. That's the change. Amen. You have to purpose. What I'm going to do. Zygo has another meaning that heightens Jesus' invitation for us to take his yoke upon us. Zygo also means scales. It is found in Revelation 6:5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of zygos in his hand, which is balances. The horseman of judgment comes with the scales in his hand. He will weigh the deeds of men. But by what standard? Jesus tells us the standard for these scales is the yoke, the zygos, right? The word, the teaching of the word of God, which is the oral teachings of Jesus. Jesus' teachings were about our first obligation, which is our first obligation is to God, and our second obligation is to others. That's Mark 12, 30, 31, right? And Proverbs 4, 1 reads, a false balance is what? An abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. False balance is balances of deceit, also could be referred to as dishonesty. And what they would do is, because they weigh stuff out at the markets, the cheaters, how many know everywhere you go, you got cheaters? The cheaters would trip the scale of the balance. It's like, I guess, I don't care what you understand from baking. Remember baking, the balance scales? Right? So in the balance scales, you put a 1 pound weight on this side, then you put something over here till it was 1 pound. Right? So the cheaters would put a weight that said 1 pound, but it wouldn't be 1 pound, it would be less. This is what he calls cheaters, false balances. It's an abomination. So they would say it's a pound, but it might only be 10 ounces and weigh it out, but they charge you for a pound. That's an abomination before God. Why? Because it is dishonest. Right? So when we take his yoke upon us and learn of us, you're dishonest if you don't have a correct balance scale. So the balance scale has to be even with the word of God. Amen. We'll finish there. The rest of it is just scriptures that you all can read. This is what you need to fight right. How many want to fight right? Well, in order for us to fight with the right weapons, we have to have the whole armor of God. Any part of the armor that you don't have, any part of the armor you don't have, you leave a crack for the devil to get through. And then all that armor was designed for you to go forward. He doesn't have any armor for the bad. So every child of God wants you to go forward. The minute you turn around, you expose everything to who? The Fidel. And God said, I never protected you to turn around. I must go forward onto higher ground. Amen. Any questions, any comments before we dismiss? Amen. Beautiful. Oh, I said beautiful.